to the podcast.
Hello, everyone.
Today we both have real mics.
I just bought mine yesterday, so hopefully it works.
Let us know how it sounds. Hopefully it's good. Better than our AirPods, lol.
Yeah,
we're getting a little bit.
I don't know if I should hold it close to my mouth or let it like chill out a bit.
You could probably let it sit on the table.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm just not seeing the lines. We use Zencastr and you can see like the lines from when someone talks, like the audio. So I'm like trying to make sure.
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
It's working. Okay, cool. Anyway, this is our second episode having to do with Pride Month. And we've decided we're going to just release both of them on the same day. So if you didn't listen to the first one, we talk about sexuality. This one's more about gender. So listen to one, listen to both, do whatever you want to do, but that's how it's working.
Yeah.
So let's start with our three things. Maya, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Something I'm consuming or just finished, I guess. My mom and I yesterday watched all 10 episodes of the show on Amazon Prime called Upload. And it's this like sci-fi futuristic show where in like 2030 something, there are these people, like there's this company that lets you upload your brain to this
database. Is it kind of like the book Feed?
It's similar to Feed and also similar to The Good Place. Similar to The Good Place. And then you go to this virtual afterlife where they like take your brain and like all of the memories and stuff in it and put you in like VR person kind of. I don't really know how to explain it, but you can interact with the like living world. So it's like, so people can like interact with you even after you've died. And this guy gets in a car crash and he dies and he gets uploaded by his girlfriend who does it kind of without his permission because he doesn't really want to be uploaded. But there's a whole like sort of crime mystery element to it. And now my mom and I are like, wait, we want to watch season two, but it's not out yet. So
I would recommend it. It was very interesting, but I had a dream last night that I had a stalker. So
yeah. And then something I'm excited about is my mom just made us plans for a trip to Vermont for 4th of July weekend. And then I'm also trying to make plans for a camping trip also to Vermont the next weekend. And yeah, I'm like excited to be planning my summer. And that's something I'm happy and excited about. And the last thing, something I'm obsessed with. I have been, I think I've said this before on the podcast, but there was no follow through with it. But this time there is going to be follow through. I'm going to become a YouTuber. If I had like $5 for every time I said that, oh my God. Anyway, yeah, I've made a lot of plans for videos and I have some film that I'm going to start editing today. I still have my Adobe suite that I got with my graphic design class from my school this semester. And I kind of think that it's just going to stay for the whole year, forever, or till I graduate. I'm not really sure. So yeah, that's how we edit our podcast with them, or how I edit it with Adobe Audition. Anyway, let me know if you have tips about Adobe Premiere. But those are my three things. Okay, Lib, you can go now.
Okay, something I'm consuming. I just watched the Cruella movie on Disney Plus. It's really good.
My cousins watched it when I was at their house. Like my whole family watched it except for me and my mom because we were too tired. I'll probably wait till we don't have to pay for it.
Yeah, my mom just like bought it. I don't know why, but she bought it.
It's cheaper than buying like two movie tickets. So
it is.
Like, if you like go see it in theaters. Yeah.
But it was really good. And she's already watched it twice. And then also I'm rewatching Dance Moms again, but I'm watching season 8.
Oh my God.
With, like Brady.
The drama.
I haven't rewatched the season yet. They hadn't had it uploaded onto Lifetime yet, and now I'm watching it. It's like my favorite season.
So you haven't watched it at all yet?
No, I watched it like when it first aired. But I haven't rewatched it. Yeah. And Brady's my favorite dancer that's ever been on Dance Moms, so I'm loving that. Something I'm excited for slash like a positive thing is I am going to Maryland next week to visit one of my friends. She was like my best friend in high school. I'm leaving Thursday afternoon, coming back Sunday afternoon. So it's like a, like since my mom has like a Southwest credit card, we got the flights for free through her points. So I'll be there for like half day, two full days, and then another half day, which is great. It's not, because I was looking at ticket prices and it's so expensive to fly. And I was like, oh, I'm going to have to take a bus. And I would only be there for 2 days and then have like full day travel each end. But since my mom had points, I'm very happy. I'm very excited. I've not met her boyfriend. They're going on 2 years and I haven't met him yet. But I mean, I've FaceTimed him. I've texted him. Like, I'm friends with her roommates kind of like casually. And some of her friends. So I'm just really excited because I already know them kind of. So it's going to be really fun. Yeah, everyone's vaccinated. It's all safe. So I'm really excited. And then something I'm obsessed with. I guess this could also go with like consuming. I've watched Bo Burnham's Inside comedy, quote unquote comedy. I don't think it's like that. Anyway, it's not completely a comedy special on Netflix 3 times. And I'm not here to talk about like how he's kind of problematic in some ways. I didn't know he was problematic until after I watched it 3 times, but it's good. And I really like it. I like the music. But I'm not here to say like if anyone should accept his apology for some of the things he's done. But yeah, so.
Yeah, you told me to watch it. I'm going to watch it.
Sometime. Oh, also sweet potato rolls for sushi. I'm also obsessed with sweet potato rolls.
Oh my God.
They're so good.
I haven't had sushi in so long. I haven't been out to eat at a restaurant in so long because it's a potato.
I recently just started going out again because when I was in Maryland to visit family, we went out and like their town's mostly vaccinated. So it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And then I went out a couple times in Boston. And like that, I hadn't really gone out to eat like in like over a year.
Yeah, it's hard for me to get takeout because of my allergies, especially at a like restaurant where there's like
sesame. Oh, anyway. Also, I'm drinking a matcha.
I'm drinking water. What a surprise. Oh, well. Okay. Do you want to just get into the meat of the episode?
Yes. I would. I just yawned.
I'm going to let Liv do most of the talking, obviously. But I will help facilitate some discussion, I guess. Why don't you start off with like how you identify and maybe like what led you to that, I guess?
Yeah, so I identify as gender queer and gender nonconforming, but gender nonconforming can sometimes be more of like a political social stance that people take like on purpose and isn't always like a gender identity. It's whatever. I could go into the nuances of different non-binary identities, but I identify as gender queer because it makes the most sense to me. I'm going to actually pull up a definition because there's like bi-gender, pan-gender, non-binary, just a gender fluid, like a lot of different terms people use. Part of the reason I chose genderqueer is because of the flag. I'm not even going to pretend. It's a pretty flag. But genderqueer is a gender identity that's built around the term queer. To be queer is to exist in a way that may not align with heterosexual or homosexual norms. Although it's typically used to describe a person's sexual orientation, it can also be used to express a non-binary gender identity. So, yeah. It makes the most sense to me because I don't call myself non-binary, even though I fall under that umbrella term. I don't know why, because I guess it's because for some reason in my brain, I associate that with being more androgynous, and I'm still very much femme presenting partially because of availability, and like also I don't really want to cut my hair short, And like, even when I wear masculine clothing, I still look very feminine just because my build and my facial structure tends to look more feminine. So I prefer genderqueer because things I do are outside of gender norms or what people expect from, you know, a biological female. But, you know, it's complicated. It's like gender is a very nuanced thing. But for me, the way I started to think about it is I didn't even know it was a thing really until this year. And then, you know, everyone, there's like a lot of online, I guess, discourse, as they like to call it. It's not real discourse. It's just petty arguing, but about pronoun usage and misgendering. And I kind of realized that some people really do have a strong attachment or really identify with their pronouns. And I never did. I never really was upset about being misgendered. I didn't really feel like, oh, yes, I'm a she, her. Like, that is who I am. It was it, like, again, pronouns do not equal gender. They're just a form of gender expression. But for me, it was never important. And then one time I was in a Trader Joe's and I was dressing more masculine at the time. And it was something I was completely unaware of for most of my life, but I'll get into that later. But someone referred to me as a boy and I like kind of felt like this jolt of like, oh, yay, like a little bit of gender euphoria. And I was like, wait a second. And then I was talking to people. I was like, yeah, like, you know, like when sometimes you just like want to have a penis. And apparently that is not a normal thought to have. So that I just thought that like, it was like, you know, sometimes you just fantasize about having different body parts, but no, oftentimes I would have dreams where I had, a male body, which is interesting, but that is something I'm not sure if it's connected or if it's just like subconscious stuff, but, and then like, I don't know. I decided to finally like come out because I was learning more about it through people I met online who were non-binary, who presented femme or presented masculine, still aligning with their gender assigned at birth. And I was realizing like, oh, you don't need to be androgynous for this. And like, you know, some of the things you've been feeling your whole life isn't normal for someone who is cis. And also non-binary falls under the umbrella of trans people. But for me, I don't identify as trans. I don't feel like I have the same experience, even though there's a social transition that one goes through when they come out as non-binary. I feel like, I don't know. I just don't really strongly identify with that, but it's really important to remember as I'm talking about this, that in order to be trans, you don't need to have gender dysphoria and you do not need to have surgery or go on hormones. That is like a very large misconception that is held by cis people because sometimes that's too expensive or it's too dangerous or too scary or the person just honestly doesn't want to. So that's just a clarification. But yeah, so I realized that I went through periods in my life where I was incredibly hyper feminine and then I was incredibly hyper masculine, especially when I was younger. I was definitely a tomboy, tom girl, like basketball shorts, sneakers, t-shirts, like playing sports at recess with the boys, like friends with boys mainly when I was younger. And I just, it was something I was so unaware of. Like I just thought nothing of it. But looking back, it kind of just makes sense that I don't, like I'm gender queer because I was always playing with my gender expression, even though I didn't realize it at the time. And in terms of my gender expression, I do enjoy doing makeup, clothes, things like that. But when I took a gender class, I started to realize some of my behavior and mannerisms do not align with what they have observed as female behaviors and mannerisms, specifically my language use. So I tend to be very abrupt, very blunt, very straight to the point. I also do swear a lot, and like I've never like felt like, oh, I need to talk like a lady, you know. I'm definitely affected by misogyny and certain things I say. Like, I'm very apologetic because that's what I've been taught to do. But for the most part, the way I use my language tends to align more with stereotypically masculine traits, which is interesting because that is a big part of your gender expression, whether you realize it or not. I'm still figuring out. There's a lot of pieces, and I'm still kind of connecting dots from like my childhood, but it does make sense. And it was something I was so unaware of. And like, you know, society just dismisses as, oh, she's tomboy. Like, you know, she just, you know, whatever, she's playing with the boys, or like, oh, she just really likes the boys. Like, she wants to date them or something. Also to put out there, I do not have a pronoun preference at all. So, she, they, he, I don't care. You can say whichever one you think fits how I'm presenting that day. And sometimes I'll clarify, sometimes I won't. It's really like when I say I don't have a strong attachment to that aspect of my gender expression, I really, really don't have any connection to it. So don't worry about misgendering me.
That's an interesting one, because I think when a lot of people come out with, in terms of their gender, not their sexuality, the pronouns are a huge part of it. And that's something that we've been seeing a lot recently. And I think a lot of people get confused with the, and like me too, I'm like guilty of this, with the ambiguity. I don't know if that's the right word, of multiple pronouns. Does it just not ever bother you if people only use she, her pronouns?
It's never bothered me. I mean, sometimes, like, I'm not going to lie, being referred to only as she, her kind of, you know, feeds into that sort of imposter syndrome I have as being a femme presenting genderqueer person of like, am I faking this, you know? So it is nice to be called they, them, but he, him isn't something like I really want, you know. It's something that gives me, like, when I'm presenting masculine, I really love it, you know, but it really doesn't matter to me because it's just never been, it's one of those things I was always confused about as well. Like, when people come out in terms of their gender identity, like, caring so much about pronoun use, other than people who obviously were transitioning, female to male or male to female. I always understood that because, you know, that was more easy for me to comprehend. But for me, I was always like, well, I don't know. Like, I just didn't relate to that, like, attachment or passion behind pronoun usage, because I guess I always looked at it as this is purely a language tool. Like,
I kind of feel the same way. Like, I don't really feel any sort of gender dysphoria. I don't feel like limited by my gender or sex assigned at birth, whatever, which are the same for me. And I don't know. I feel like it just doesn't matter as much to me. Like, I just will do whatever I want, and that's not like, but I don't feel like I get any sense of euphoria by using any other pronouns. So yeah, I guess that's how I feel about my gender, my two cents. what have you, because this has been like a recent thing, like this, like you came out about this to me at least around the time that I came out. So it's like last fall. What have you learned about yourself and like about the gender queer non-binary, etc. community?
It's something that is very difficult to come to terms with, especially since it's not the traditional, like, more, it's not, I'm not saying it's accepted, but more socially acceptable coming out in terms of gender. Like, it's not like, you know, being like, oh, I was born a girl, but I want to be a boy. That is more easy for a lot of people to understand. And something I've realized is there is like still a lot of division within the non-binary community in terms of it being an umbrella term. People love to say that, you know, it's the same thing when a lot of girls came out as bi, like, oh, you're doing it for the trend. You don't look androgynous. Like, how are you, like, non-binary? Or my favorite, until recently, I was just using she, they pronouns. And the constant demonization of she, they's, cis she, they's. Well, guess what? Technically, anyone who is non-binary in any capacity is trans. So that is transphobic to say that. There's a lot of transphobia. There's a lot of internalized transphobia. There's a lot of just isolation because it is such a new thing. People think that people are faking it. And by new, I mean, it just more recently has become more accepted and talked about more through TikTok mainly. I feel like that's been the main source of conversation around it. And it's just, you know, it's the same thing like for me as like being bi. There's still a lot of biphobia. There's still a lot of division, and it kind of sucks. And like, I found comfort in some people I met online who also use they, them pronouns, but we also have very different experiences. Especially since I'm less attached to the pronouns. The pronouns tend to be the center of the conversation. And a lot of people, even within the community, aren't aware of the nuances of gender expression and how you can express your gender queerness in ways other than cutting your hair androgynously or like trying like a binder or something. Something I learned about myself is I used to hate my small boobs so much because I just like felt so uncomfortable like being perceived as a girl with small boobs because I always felt like I like wasn't, you know, fitting the role, so to speak. But after like realizing this about myself, it's a gift. Like, I can like pass as a boy if I wanted to. And that's been really fun for me. Like, also something that's been really fun is sometimes people on my TikTok will comment, are you a he or a she? And I'll be like, I'm both. And they're like, you can't do that. You're one or the other. And I'm like, guess I'm built different, like cope, you know, like, and like, that's another thing. I've realized that a lot of people on the internet feel entitled to know your sex assigned at birth. They feel so uncomfortable when they can't tell, and they want to know so badly if you have a dick or a vagina. Like, they want to know, even though it doesn't matter. It really, like, for some reason, there's like this fascination with androgynous people wanting to know, well, what are you really? That's what they say. What are you really? I'm me. And if you can't tell, that makes me happy. Like, stay mad. Like, you have no right to know what's underneath my clothes. And it's been making me realize how this is such a, I guess, stick it to the man thing, because everyone wants, like, it's so odd for people not to be able to tell your gender looking at you, because you walk down the street, you see stereotypical men, stereotypical women, and you don't have to think about it. You see someone who's dressed differently or is just has androgynous features. And even when I was younger, I remember being like, is that a boy or a girl? Like, that is an obsession that we have when we can't tell. So that's something I've learned personally. I've also learned that sometimes I do like just want to cover up my entire body. Like, I don't want to be perceived at all. And it's not a insecurity thing. It's a, I don't want people to see my curves or anything. I want to just be a human. I don't want, like, a lot of the times for me, I just don't like being categorized by people based on my body or how I look or my whatever gender they think I am. It's like I the best way I describe how I feel about myself is like I just exist. Like I don't want to be put in a box all the time. It's kind of exhausting, especially after I've taken classes on this and I learned more about it. It's like every single thing you do, acting out your gender, you choose to do your gender every day. It's not something you have, it's something you do. It affects how people view you and it affects how people respect you. And that is something that I'm constantly trying to, I guess, combat.
Okay, I kind of want to go off of like putting people in a box because like what you said about like when you were younger being like, are they a boy or a girl? I have in the maybe like the past five or I'm trying to think of how old I was when I started like actively trying to stop that thinking. It's been like a good 4 or 5 years where I was like, you don't actually ever know. And especially in the past year, as I've seen so many people on TikTok come out and talk about being non-binary, where like you, even if you're more femme presenting, like maybe that's not like what you associate with, whatever. There's no reason that you need to speculate on what somebody's gender is. And it is a thought that like comes up in my,
it's because we live in a gendered society.
Exactly. I feel like it's a human nature thing to make judgments and categorize people so you can understand like where you fit in the world. But it's important to try to add some more conscious thought into that, because if we want to like change the way that we think about things and the different stereotypes we have about gender, sexuality, or whatever it may be, that's something that has to be like conscious thought. And yeah, I don't know. I think that's kind of an interesting topic because especially like not to throw my mom under the bus, but she does it all the time. Like she says it out loud too sometimes, like, oh, I wonder if that's a male or female. And she's like, I don't know. I'm like, why does it matter? Like I literally say to her, I'm like, why does it matter? Like we're just like walking past them on the beach, or like we had a small conversation with them, like their gender has nothing to do with us just like looking at them. Like it's not really a big deal unless somebody tells you what they want. And if I don't know what somebody's gender is, I just use gender neutral pronouns, because like why, I don't, like if I don't know them, then it's not like, I don't think it's any of my business really.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah, I think it's interesting that and because gender is ambiguous and also like a whole spectrum, the way that sexuality is, when you come out as something that falls in between the concreteness of being like male or female or gay or lesbian, then people have problems with that. Because mm-hmm. they're like, well, you can't be both. Like,
yeah.
In fact, I can. Yeah.
I think one of the things I've noticed too is I was so insecure about my body for so long. And the more I think about it, the more I realize it was because I was trying to force feminine beauty standards on myself, when in reality, I didn't even really care. It's just what I thought I had to do. To be, I don't know, accepted, wanted, perceived well by men, but also society. Count how many times we say society in this podcast episode. And there, I've embraced my body so much more because, if anything, it's a tool for me. I can use it however I want. I go 3 weeks without shaving and I feel great. And then I shave, I also feel great, you know? Playing with body hair, playing, you know, that sounds so strange, but it does help sometimes with how I want to be perceived. I have no shame going to Target with, like, I remember going to Target and my leg hair was so long. I felt a breeze through it. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, dang. And of course a voice in my head's like, you need to shave, but I don't really have shame about that anymore. I don't have shame around not wearing makeup in public. And you know, everyone likes to say, like, liberal feminists love to say, like, oh, no matter what, you're doing makeup for the male gaze. You're doing makeup for the male gaze, even if you say it's for yourself. I have gotten to the point where I truly do it for myself and for the art of it, because I am an artist. I paint, I draw. Yeah. Makeup's just doing it on my face. Also wearing non-conventional clothing, more confident. Because I used to show skin out of insecurity, but now I show skin out of confidence. There's a difference. So I think there's been a lot more self-love, especially recently, now that I'm out of a relationship. I can't say that in the moment I was, like, thinking this way, because I had a lot going on emotionally, where I was really insecure, but for different reasons. But there's something very liberating about accepting this fact about yourself, and then also realizing, like, well, if I'm non-binary or I'm genderqueer, it doesn't matter. Nothing I do matters, because I don't have to fit either compartment. So it's definitely something that, if anything, has been more positive on my mental health. And also something interesting, kind of got a different tangent, you know, looking at language, because I am learning Spanish. There's new gender neutral terms. Instead of, like, ella, there's ella, which, because if you don't know Spanish, it's completely gendered, and the gendered quote unquote neutral term to use for a group of people is the masculine form. So there has been introduction of AA. I think that's how you pronounce it. It's an E at the end. So yeah.
I've also done that, like, before, not necessarily for, like, LAA, but for, like, Latinx, like, they started to use Latine because X isn't really, like, there's no X. There's X in Spanish, but there's not really, like, an X in Spanish. But yeah, it's kind of, because I remember when I started learning Spanish, I was like, well, what do you do for somebody who uses they, them pronouns? Like, how do you make it, like, what's gender neutral in Spanish?
I saw one for Amigo.
It's cool to see language evolve as well.
Mm. Amigue. Amigues. Amigue. I love
that's
that.
Cute.
I like it better. It's cute.
I should start saying that. I need to add that more into my Spanish vocabulary, because that's a relatively new thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't really something we ever talked about in my Spanish classes in high school. But it's cool to watch language adapt. Like, in English, it doesn't really adapt that much besides pronouns, because that's what modifies the gender.
And yet people have such an issue with that. They/them is not plural.
It's, yeah,
it can be used, you use it as singular every single day, I guarantee. Oh, where did Charlie go? Oh, they went to the store.
Yeah,
it's not that hard.
Oh my gosh, somebody lost their wallet.
Yeah,
it's not that complicated. It really isn't. Like, yeah, maybe you have, like, to be a little bit more, like, put a little bit more thought into it, because
that was,
like,
my
sounds
friend.
A little weird at first, but no,
oh,
it's
that was
that
my friend. Oh, I don't think I've met them before.
Yeah.
Come no, on, it's people. Not it's not that difficult. I guess another side tangent, neopronouns. Everyone shut the fuck up. No one cares your opinion on neopronouns. If you're an LGBTQ person who says neopronouns make us look like a joke, shut up. Shut up. You can still be LGBTQ. You can be gay and still be transphobic. Newsflash, it's just isolating people. And as much as it, like, certain ones are more challenging, like noun self pronouns, a lot of the times it's for neurodivergent people. So don't be fucking ableist. Also, that I know I know someone through another person who goes by it. I get that. That's difficult because we have a connotation with calling trans people it as an insult, or calling objects it, or babies it, or animals it. So there's like a block, because whenever, you know, people want to insult LGBTQ people, they say it. But for some people, that's what they want. You don't get to not respect someone's pronouns because they quote unquote make you uncomfortable. Also, all that shit you're seeing on TikTok of like daddy self, that's not real. Guess what? Guess where that came from? That came from 4chan. That came from literal incel meme pages. It's not real. And you literally ate it up. You fell into the trap. Also, newsflash, you're not going to meet as many people as you see online that use noun self pronouns. It's probably a non-issue for you. And if you do, are you really going to look at them in the face and say, fuck you, I'm not going to respect you? No, you're not. Don't act so hard. Anyway, just had to clear that up because that is a non-binary issue and everyone needs to just respect people. It literally, lots of times people go by noun self pronouns, also go by they, them. So if it really makes you so uncomfortable, you don't have to announce it to the world. You can just use they, them.
Yeah, people just need to mind their own business.
Is there anything else you want to talk about before we wrap it up?
Yeah, I think it's just like, do you have any more questions? Like, I could really talk about this forever, but
I don't really think I have any more questions. You covered a lot of stuff.
I think one of the best things you can do for someone who comes out as genderqueer, non-binary, or gender fluid, or any of those identities, is just be like, even if you don't understand it, don't say that. Don't be like, oh, I don't get it, or this is too much for me to understand. Because if you're really an ally, it's not too much for you to understand. And to say that it's too much or there's too many identities, you can't keep up. You know, I'm sorry it's not black and white. I'm being sarcastic, by the way. Gender and sexuality is fluid. People come up with identities to make themselves feel more comfortable. No one's asking you to study for an exam. You know, all you have to do is, if you meet someone who identifies with something you haven't heard of before, say, oh, okay, I'm proud of you, or I support you, and then do your own research and learn about it, or ask them questions. I'm sure they'd love to answer, as long as you're not dismissive, because that's the worst feeling in the world. Even if you end up not fully understanding it and you don't want to bother them, you can just blindly support. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to know every little in and out of someone's gender identity, because it is so complex.
They don't either.
Yeah, I'm still learning new stuff about myself every day in terms of my sexuality and my gender identity. It's not something that is concrete. And I don't know. I think that the best thing you can do is words of affirmation, like just a supportive answer. I think when I came out to people, some of my old friends were like, okay, right, or a thumbs up. And I was like, okay, well, this was kind of a big deal for me. Like, let's not be so dismissive. But it's really difficult, because we talked about this in the other episode. Responding to coming out is like kind of difficult. You want to be sensitive. You don't want to make a huge deal out of it, but you also don't want to dismiss it completely. So yeah, I think also ask people, oh, big one. Oh my gosh. Ask people what terms they're comfortable with. Like, you know how everyone's like, oh girl, or like bro or dude. Some non-binary people really don't like gendered terms. So just ask. I personally, my favorite term is homie. that is gender neutral, just so happens to be gender neutral. But ask people, because that could, it's not like they're going to like throw a huge fit over it, but you know, it's considerate. I also think if you're unsure of like what compliments to give people, just be like, compliment something about them. Oh, your hair looks so good today. Oh, I love your outfit. I love your makeup. Or be like, wow, you look so good. Like, you don't always have to be like, you're so beautiful versus you're so handsome. There's other ways to compliment people. And I know like that sounds like such a like itty bitty, like petty thing, but let's say someone posts something online and they're non-binary and then they just get bombarded with like gendered compliments and gendered terms. It doesn't, it's not like it, it's still a compliment, but there's just that little edge to it. That's like, oh, well, you know, I don't want to be perceived femininely or masculinely or whatever. So it does sound really petty, and most of the time it's not a big deal, but it's just little things to be considerate about. So yeah.
Good. That was very good. It's interesting to hear you talk about all this stuff, because we haven't really had too much of a conversation about it, but yeah, very cool.
Also, non-binary people don't owe you androgyny. Non-binary people don't owe you an explanation. It's how they are. So, yeah.
Nobody owes you anything. Mind your own business.
Yeah. I also just don't really talk about it in depth, because I don't think people like want to hear me go off about it for like an hour. But
no, it's very interesting. It's, yeah. If you guys have any questions related to either our last episode or this episode, you can DM us on either of our personal accounts or on our podcast Instagram, which we both check and have access to if you have any questions.
Growing as we go pod. My Instagram is libloverly.
And mine,
it's lovely with an R.
Mine, I think, is underscore Maya Bailey.
We have it tagged in our...
Yeah, they're both in our
podcast bio. But
let us know if you have any questions or if you want to talk.
Happy Pride.
Yeah, happy Pride. And we will be back to posting regularly now. I know we say that every time we do a new episode, but this time it's actually going to happen, guys. I swear. Lib just got a new mic, so we have to.
Oh, yeah. I spent $30 on this bad boy. We better.
Maybe we should turn on ads on our podcast. I don't know how much money we can make off of ads with people.
I feel like we should at least try.
Yeah. So if there are ads in the future, it's to pay off Libby's mic. Don't get mad at us. You can skip through them if you want.
Or sellouts.
Well, we just need the money, guys. No.
Actually, it would be nice to have a little kickback, not gonna lie.
It would be
college
would
student be. Vibes.
If we both start YouTube channels, then we'll become famous.
And you need to help me with that, homie. I don't know what I'm doing.
DM us if you
we should FaceTime after this, because I actually need advice.
Okay, we're gonna plan our YouTube channels. We'll get back to you next week.
If you made it this far, you're probably one of our best friends. And if you're not, DM us and you can become one.
Please do, though, actually. We want new friends. We're done with each other. No, okay. We want more friends. Oh, my goodness. All right.
Hope you enjoy.
See you next week. Bye.